From the Mighty 990 Broadcast Center, you're waking up in Starnes Country with Todd Starnes.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Todd Starnes. This is Starnes Country, and we're broadcasting from the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. Great to have you with us today. It's a little messy out there on the roadways today, working a couple of accidents, and Commander Chuck will be along in just a few moments with your update. But again, Summer Avenue at Highland, you've got an accident working. Also, Covington Pike, right before Covington Pike, you've got an accident. You folks coming in from Fayette County, they're working an accident as well on I-40 East. That is near exit 25, and we've got the left lane block. So a lot of little accidents and fender benders out there on the roadway this morning. Take your time. It's all right. You're going to get to where you're going. Well, we've got a lot happening today. Our good friend Randy Hutchison from the Better Business Bureau drops by. Also, we have one of the candidates running for the Shelby County Commission, District 1. Rhonda Odell will be joining us to talk about her campaign in just a little while. Well, the big news, ladies and gentlemen, Memphis Tigers, we finally have a head football coach. I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch yesterday's press conference, but I don't know how anybody could come away from that press conference, which was really a pep rally, and be in a bad mood. I like this guy. Charles Huff is the brand new head coach of the Memphis Tigers. He's replacing the other guy who went off to, we can't say his name anymore. He went off to Arkansas. And Charles Huff, though, came in and has a beautiful family and just really has, I really like his approach to football and especially college athletics. Here's a little bit of the new coach, cut number two.
First, let me thank the good Lord above for the opportunity to stand in front of you today. This is not by happenstance that I'm here. I truly believe there's favor on my life. And I truly believe the more I can pour into young men, the more that favor will be shown on a grand scale.
So he went on. It was probably a 20-minute address to the fans, and they were eating it up. It was just, there was a lot of energy. The vibe was incredible. As a matter of fact, I want to play this little clip. Here's the ending of the coach's speech last night.
A message to the nation. Tigers are apex predators in the world. Apex predators are at the top of the food chain. Their job is to reset and establish order in the ecosystem. It's time for the Memphis Tigers to get to the top of the food chain and establish order and consistency in the college football ecosystem. And that's what I'm here to do. Go Tigers, go.
Yeah, go Tigers, go. I mean, it's going to be an exciting time in Memphis Tigers football. I like the way the coach thinks. I like everything the coach had to say. He said everything that needed to be said yesterday. And I really appreciate his attention to family, the importance of family in the program, within his own life. And he talked about the importance of being a student athlete. So this is going to be a pretty exciting time. Are we going to lose some games? Probably. We'll lose a few. But this is a new coach, new systems, new players. And we're going to get through it, folks. And I think we've got ourselves a good guy here. So let's give him a chance. That's all I'm saying. Let's give the guy a chance. Let's let him get settled. He's wanting to be a part of Memphis, and he wants Memphis to be a part of the football program. And I'm pretty excited about that. May I share my funniest? This is my favorite Memphis Tigers football story. When I first bought KWAM, this is back at, it's 5 years ago. So when I first bought KWAM, one of the things we wanted were the Memphis Tigers. So they were broadcasting on another radio station, the iHeart cluster over there. And I think cluster is a fair word to describe what's going on over there at that joint. So anyway, we put in a bid, and we wanted to be the official voice of the Memphis Tigers. We wanted to broadcast the football and basketball games. We wanted to be really good cheerleaders. But they were looking for a much more massive signal. We're a 10,000-watt station. They wanted a 100,000-watt station. So they went with another corporate group of radio stations. And, you know, they're all in it for the money, right? So We put in a great bid, and we felt like, and our pitch was this, we would be the biggest cheerleaders that football program had in Memphis. And we had a great, our whole team was so excited about it, and we put together a great plan. Anyway, it's all good. There was really nothing we could do. Our signal is our signal. But we really felt like anybody who wanted to listen to Memphis Tigers football would be able to do it on KWAM. So they made a big, huge, they were just bringing in the new head coach, and they were doing a big event at the Memphis Zoo. And so we just reached out and we said, hey, is it okay if we show up because we want to promote this? And they said, sure, no problem. So we brought out the KWAM Mighty 990 tent. And this tent is mighty. It's like two stories. It's a massive tent. And we had our whole team out there. Everybody was decked out, you know, with our KWAM logos, KWAM swag. We had everybody coming by the tent. I mean, we even had the head coach of the cheerleaders. And you know who wasn't there? The radio station that actually got the contract to broadcast the Memphis Tigers. Everybody thought we were the official. We were like, no, we're just big fans. So we are proud here on KWAM to be the official, unofficial home of the Memphis Tigers here in the Mid-South. And we're excited for Coach Huff. His family, we want to welcome them to the Bluff City. And we love it when people want to move to Memphis. I think that says a lot. So anyway, good news coming out of the University of Memphis. All right, this story out of the Tennessee Lookout, and the Tennessee Lookout's always looking out for very bad angles on stories, and they're doing a piece on businesses in South Memphis. And the headline is, some Memphis businesses suffer amid federal task force presence. And Mayor Lee Harris is now comparing the economic, he's calling it an economic downturn, the economic downturn in South Memphis to the pandemic, what happened during the China virus. I'm not kidding you. So this is the, and I'm just going to read the opening paragraph, and you'll understand exactly what this is all about and where Lee Harris is coming from. Saturday lunch is usually peak business at La Guadalupana restaurant, one of the city's oldest sit-down Mexican joints, along a busy commercial strip in the city's diverse Berkeley neighborhood. But on one recent Saturday, owner Juan Castellan gestured in the direction of mostly empty tables. Business down 30 to 40% since the Memphis Safe Task Force began making thousands of traffic stops, arrest for alleged criminal and immigration law violations. Now, this is interesting because that tells me, and I'm just going to speak a little truth here for a moment. That tells me that about 30 to 40% of his business is illegal because you have nothing to fear. If you are a law-abiding citizen in Memphis and you get pulled over, you have all of your documentation, which every citizen has to have a driver's license. Every citizen has to have car registration. Every citizen has to have proof of insurance. That's the way it is in Memphis. That's the way it is in Shelby County. And if you don't have those things, well, guess what? You're probably going to get a ticket. You're going to be cited. If they run a background check on you and there's something there, there's a warrant, you're probably going to go to jail. But the average citizen, if you're a legal immigrant to this country, you're not getting arrested and you're not getting deported. And if his traffic is down that much, that tells me we have a much bigger problem with illegal immigration in this county and in this city than any of us really thought of. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Let's check in. Commander Chuck taking a look at the roadways. Going to be very cold this weekend, everybody, but enjoy the weather while you can. Laura Huckabee will be along in just a few moments with a look at your forecast. Also, Commander Chuck and Jim Miller standing by in the Mighty 990 newsroom with a look at your local headlines. Coming up in the next half hour segment, Randy Hutchison from the Better Business Bureau, and also now an opportunity for you to win a Mighty 990 Christmas prize package, which is always pretty cool. Talking about a Christmas story. story. One of my favorite movies, and honestly, folks, I think, what is it, TBS or TNT, they used to broadcast this 24 hours a day. And what I found to be very, very interesting about A Christmas Story, I'd never seen the entire movie from like start to finish until last year. That was the very first time. It's just one of those movies where you're always doing something, you turn on the TV, there it is, you sit down and you watch, right? That's so anyway, it's a great movie, and I love it. And there's so many funny scenes in this movie. And here is your opportunity to win a great KWAM Christmas prize package. And I'm telling you, thanks to our wonderful sponsors, we have some incredible, incredible gifts to give away. So here is the question. The Parker family, they had a disastrous Christmas dinner. So where do they end up going? They ended up going out. What kind of a restaurant did the Parker family eat at on Christmas Day after their turkey was stolen by the neighbor's dog? So they went to a specific kind of restaurant. And if you can tell us, you will be the winner of our prize package. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And we'll be taking your calls here momentarily. All right. It is now 22 minutes past the hour, and we're honored to have in studio Rhonda Odell, who is running for the Shelby County Commission, District 1. By the way, her website address, electrondaodell.com. That's electrondaodell.com. Miss Odell, good to have you with us on KWAM this morning.
Good morning, Todd.
All right. So I just want to jump right into it. Why are you running for the Shelby County Commission?
I am running for the Shelby County Commission because I love District 1. I have been serving them behind the scenes for many, many years. I have a servant heart, and I want to continue some of the programs that both Commissioner Rowland and Commissioner Mills have continued, but I have some own my own ideas and changes that I would like to see in District 1.
And what specific, give us your top idea. If you could only do one thing on the Shelby County Commission, what would that be?
If I could only do one thing, I think, and this is a grand idea because, of course, we've got to find funding for it, but one would be to bring out some of the county services to the suburbs. We have, of course, Clerk Wanda Halbert's office in Millington, but we have so many other functions in county government that are not out in the suburbs. They're only downtown, and that's not really fair to our district.
That is a tough thing. I mean, and I'll just say this, it is easier for me to drive all the way to Fayette County. If I need to get, you know, a license or something like that, I just drive up to Fayette County instead of, you know, coming here because you're going to be waiting in lines for forever.
Correct. And parking. And
why is she still? I don't get it. It's the county. I know the county has, spent a lot of time trying to deal with Wanda Halbert, and it's almost as if she's untouchable.
Well, you know, that's one of the functions of higher than the county commission to deal with. So I have really allowed the powers that be deal with that. I like to stay in my lane. I like to do what a county commissioner would do. You do have an overall view of everything, but I think it's very important to remember what your functions are.
I see. So I know the county had, so the commission had actually inserted itself into that controversy. If you had been on the commission, you would advise the commission to do what?
I would have advised the commission to look more into the state law where it states that the mayor, which is Mayor Lee Harris, had the authority to address this much earlier. No one really pushed him, and I think there was a little politics going on, but that's where I would have addressed it and asked them to go to. It's not the county commission's role to oversee what the clerk office, an elected official similar to the sheriff, they have their own roles.
I'm going to be asking this question to every person running because I think this is so important, especially when you look at, you know, the property taxes going up in the city. There's just a lot of concern about how money is being spent not only in the city but also at the county level. Would you support a local version of the DOGE, the Department of Government Accountability, and would you also do something about those slush funds? Because I understand the commissioners. I was shocked. Basically, if you get elected, you get like all this money that comes from taxpayers, and you can do with it really whatever you want to do with it.
Absolutely, Todd. A lot of folks don't know that. Absolutely, I 1,000% would support DOGE. There are many things that need to be looked at and audited within Shelby County government, and even with the commissioner's CEP grants is what you're talking about specifically. They have $200,000 to spend within their districts. But, you know, our Republicans do a pretty good job on that, because Commissioner Mills, one of the things she did was give Public Works money to pick up the trash in District 1. And that has really, really helped, because our public Works Department is strapped for funding as well.
I know that, you know, one of the big challenges, and obviously if you're, you know, a big city like Memphis, you know, a lot of the resources are going to be allocated for downtown. But the reality is most of the taxpayers are out in the suburbs, and we're not getting bang for the buck.
Absolutely.
How do we fix that?
Well, one thing that we need to remember, and this body of commissioners have apparently forgotten this, but our laws are only for unincorporated Shelby County. We don't make laws for Memphis. And a lot of the stuff that we have been, or I shouldn't say we, the commission has been directing at, is a lot of stuff that happens within the city limits of Memphis. We need to stay in our lane again. We need to remember that we make laws for unincorporated Shelby County, and that is a lot of District 1.
It is. It's a pretty large district. How do you... You know, again, when you jump into this race, tell us a little bit about your background. Folks who may not know you, tell us about yourself.
Well, currently, right now, I work for Shelby County Sheriff's Department. I'm a business analyst there. But prior to that, for 14 years, I worked with the Shelby County Board of Commissioners. I was assigned to two different commissioners. My last title was the Commission Office Coordinator. So I'm very familiar with what the roles are with the county commission. Before that, I worked for the city of Millington. I'm a former Marine. I also worked with as a branch manager for MATCU, Old Memphis Credit Union, which is Orion now. So I have a wide range of background.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds here. This is your pitch to the voters. And, of course, we're going to have all the candidates on through the election season here. What do you think is the most pressing issue facing Shelby County right now?
The most pressing issue is our finances. We need, the county commission needs to be able to get accurate information so they can do their due diligence. And we need to change the state law that ties the county commission's hands in cutting the mayor's budget. That is critical.
All right. So people can go to your website, electrondaodell.com. What are they going to find there, Rhonda?
They are going to find information on how to get involved. If you are ready for, if you want to continue with the true conservatives that have been representing District 1, continue. Rhonda Odell, I've been there. I have my own voice. I'm a little bit in between Commissioner Mills and Commissioner Rowland. Not quite as fiery as Commissioner Rowland, but just a little bit different.
And Commissioner Rowland, a former commissioner.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, he's
yes.
not on the commission now. All
Absolutely.
Right. Well, good luck to you. And again, electrondaodell.com is the website, electrondaodell.com. Hang tight, everybody. Randy Hutchison from the Better Business Bureau coming up. Also, trivia. We've got some players. We'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. It is Starnes Country here in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. And just for the record, we're having all the candidates on, and all you have to do to reach out is give us a call. Reach out to us at 901-260-5926 if you are running and you'd like to appear on the morning show. And we'll have a great conversation with you like we just had with Miss Odell, who is running for the Shelby County Commission, District 1. ElectRhondaOdell.com is her website address. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have Kaylee in Germantown. Kaylee, thanks for holding on. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Kaylee, I'm doing well, and we're going to try to help you win a prize, A Christmas Story. It's a big, popular Christmas movie. Have you ever seen the movie?
Yes, sir. We watch it every year.
All right. Very nice. Well, you know the story then. The neighbor's dog steals the turkey. Where does the Parker family end up having Christmas dinner?
Do they go to a Chinese restaurant?
Yes, absolutely.
Ho, ho, ho!
Yeah, Kaylee, congratulations. That's correct. As a matter of fact, it was the officially known as the Bo Ling Chop Suey Palace, but we will take Chinese restaurant, Kaylee.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations. Look, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll get all of your information, so hang tight. Don't go anywhere, and thanks for playing trivia here on the Mighty 990. Well, every Thursday, Randy Hutchison from the Better Business Bureau drops by to help protect your bank account and your money. Randy, good to see you. Are you a big fan of Christmas movies?
It's been a while since I've watched one.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I'm a diehard guy, and I just found out that Rambo is considered a Christmas movie. So,
all right.
Die Hard and Rambo.
I'd have to think long and hard. I remember watching Rambo. I don't remember the Christmas scenes.
We're talking puppies today, Randy, and everybody loves puppies, and that's why I suspect the bad guys are using puppies to lure you away from your big dollars. So let's talk about these online puppy scams.
Well, and I want to talk about it this time of year because a lot of people decide this is the time of year they're going to bring a puppy or another kind of pet into their home as a Christmas gift for the kids, which is wonderful. But as you said, the crooks always try to exploit every headline or every event, or in this case, a holiday, to separate us from our money. The Better Business Bureau actually started tracking online puppy scams, pets in general, but most of them are puppies, scams in 2017, and found out in the original study that almost anybody searching online to buy a puppy was likely to end up on a scam website. Up to 80% of sponsored listings could be phony, many of them originating overseas. The good news is that study gets updated every few years. The numbers over the last year or so have been trending down, but the crooks, therefore, are adapting social media, adapting artificial intelligence to, again, make their scams more believable and keep ensnaring a lot of people during the holidays as well as throughout the year. Give you an example. A Minnesota woman saw an online ad that said, and I'm quoting the ad, and this will tug at people's heartstrings, tugged at her heartstrings, "Our passion for breeding dachshunds began with our own family pets. As our love for these dogs grew, we decided to share our experience and knowledge of breeding with others. Our mission is to provide healthy and happy puppies to families who will love and cherish them for a lifetime." That was the ad that she saw. She ended up paying $2,500.
What?
$2,500 for a puppy that didn't exist. The fees included $890. That was the original purchase price. But the crooks, once you order one of these puppies, of course, you get invested in it. You're looking forward to getting your pet. And they keep coming back to you saying, oh, there's another fee. There's another charge you need to pay. She ended up paying another roughly $1,500. For a supposed temperature-controlled crate for the puppy to be shipped to her house. A Memphis woman earlier this year lost $300 paying for a Yorkie puppy she saw on TikTok. Again, she paid $100 for the pet, but then the seller later said she had to pay an additional $200 delivery fee, which she paid and didn't get that puppy. And this lady, unfortunately, decided to try again. And went back on TikTok, found another seller, and same thing happened.
Oh, no. This is terrible. And this is why you guys have your Better Business Bureau scam tracker, mm-hmm. so you can keep track of all these guys. I'm just curious, as you guys are doing your research and investigations, what kind of dogs and other pets are being advertised in the scam listings?
Over 200 reports to our scam tracker service named Bulldogs.
Wow.
And dachshunds as the breed buyers were looking for before being scammed. But people also reported hoping to buy a Chihuahua, a Shepherd, a Pomeranian, a Golden Doodle, Cats remain a popular lure, but really anybody buying any kind of pet online needs to be wary. We've had reports. These are actual reports from people who were victimized about folks who wanted to buy a hedgehog, a lizard, a bird, a gecko, and even a sugar glider. I had to look that up.
Wait, what?
I didn't know what a sugar glider was.
A sugar glider.
I looked it up, and a sugar glider is a small, omnivorous, arboreal, nocturnal, gliding possums. Had a picture of a very cute little animal, so I guess somebody wanted to buy a sugar glider.
It sounds like something you would want to avoid in a nightclub.
It looked very cute.
A sugar glider. All right. So let's talk solutions here. What's some advice you have to avoid becoming the victim of an online, sugar glider or pet scam?
If you're going to search for a pet online, still see, if at all possible, see the animal in person before actually forking over any money. If necessary, set up a video call to view the animal, but understand that even those can be faked. A lot of the images that you see on the fake websites are copied from legitimate breeders' websites. By the way, legitimate breeders advertise online, so I'm not saying don't research online, but again, follow these other tips. But a lot of the images are lifted from legitimate breeders' websites. If you go online and you do a reverse image search and you find the same animal advertised a lot of different places, probably a scam. Understand what the average market price is for the kind of pet, the puppy or other kind of pet you're thinking about. And if it's being advertised at a much lower price, probably a scam. If you're so inclined, certainly experts, animal shelter experts, recommend consider adopting one of the millions of dogs or other pets that enter shelters every year.
And I'm wondering if that's really the best, one of the best options, or your first option is, getting a rescue pet. Yeah. Because there are so many of those, especially dogs that are just, looking for homes. And I know several folks on our staff have done that,
yeah,
Randy,
yeah.
And they've loved it.
My sister adopted one. So,
wow.
So again, consider that. But if you're going to buy one, be sure you're dealing, particularly online, be sure that you're dealing with a legitimate breeder.
It's common sense. And sometimes when you get caught up in the emotion of it all, you lose that common sense.
That's what happens with these people. They think I'm going to get my pet. They've sent in the one lady's case $800 or $900. And she's getting excited, going to get her puppy, and they come back and say, well, there's another fee, and she pays it. She's just become invested in it. But eventually, in all these cases, they end up realizing they got scammed.
Well, again, folks, if you want more information and also have access to the BBB, the Better Business Bureau and all of their reporting, where do they need to go for that?
Well, the easiest way to check out a company, file a complaint about a company, file a review about a company, good or bad, anywhere in the country, is at bbb.org, bbb.org, or call us at local number 759-1300.
And Randy, I know how Memphians are. They're like, well, I'm a victim of a scam, but I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. No, we need you to do that so somebody else won't fall victim to a scam.
Well, as you said, we have an online scam tracker service. You can report it. We're not going to use your name unless you authorize us to. But you can check to find out if other people reported the scam. And look, a lot of crooks rely on people being embarrassed and not wanting to report it. And sometimes they'll come back and double dip you in that case.
Oh, geez, alone. Yeah, you don't want that to happen. All right, Randy, always good seeing you.
Yep.
Great information. All right, got to get one of those, what do they call them? Sugar gliders. I got to get one of those. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is Stearns Country in the Principal Toyota Memphis studio. It is now 49 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to Stearns Country here in the Mighty 990, in the Mighty 990 beautiful studios, sponsored by Principal Toyota. Great to have you with us today. We have a very busy, very busy news day. One of the big stories is what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. I go all the way back to I go all the way back to the first Trump term when we had an opportunity to repeal Obamacare. And anybody remember the one person who was responsible for making sure that did not happen? That would have been Senator John McCain. And Senator McCain infamously looking up at the C-SPAN cameras and doing a big thumbs down, sticking it to President Trump, because this was considered a big loss within the Trump administration. So there was just it was a really appalling thing. But the other part of this is the Republicans really don't have a plan, right? And that's a challenge. So today there is a vote expected on the Affordable Care Act. Yesterday, by the way, 13 House Republicans defied leadership and advanced a bill to reverse a Trump executive order on unions. So you're seeing open rebellion now within the ranks of the Republican Party. This coming from Fox News. 13 House Republicans joined Democrats in advancing a bill to reverse President Trump's order, executive order, cracking down on federal worker unions. The bill led by Congressman Jared Golden, by the way, most, if not all, of the Republicans who oppose this are all from Northeastern or New England states, all the Republicans. The bill led by Congressman Jared Golden, a Democrat of Maine, who forced a vote on the measure with a mechanism called a discharge petition. Now, it's designed to force a vote on any bill over the wishes of leadership, provided it gets support from a majority of House lawmakers. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. So, again, open rebellion now in the ranks among the House Republicans, and it's a big mess. By the way, a lot of people talking about Erica Kirk and her appearance on Fox News. She did multiple shows yesterday. Some people are now saying that Erica Kirk may, in fact, possibly get a show on Fox News. Not sure about that, but it could. I mean, anything's possible. But anyway, Erica Kirk doing a lot of the shows, and I thought it was interesting, and I'm just, this is just my thoughts on this, and we'll be happy to take your thoughts as well. I mean, she was righteously indignant, and she told us that she was being righteously indignant by calling out the people that were making all sorts of accusations. But it's interesting, she never actually called out the person who was doing it. She didn't call out anybody. And it seems to me, if you've got somebody out there and they're accusing you of killing your husband, you want to not only name that person, you want to destroy that person. But she didn't go there. And here's the thing, and I have respected this on the national show. We haven't talked about Erica Kirk because she is a grieving widow, and I think that's just a respectful thing to do. The question then becomes, okay, what if the grieving widow is going and doing national television, you know, interviews, wall-to-wall coverage, and if the grieving widow is sending out fundraising mailers for TPUSA, at what point do we get to start asking questions? Because I do have a lot of questions. I don't believe that we truly understand what happened in Utah. And there are just a lot of questions that I have. And I get the emails every time I say that, I get an email. That's not your place. Your place is not to ask questions. Really? Well, here's the thing. If Turning Point USA or any other organization wants to come on my program and they want to promote this project or that project, and then something happens within that organization, they cannot come and say, oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. Sorry, that's not how it works. So anyway, do I think Candace Owens is on? No, I mean, she's blaming the United States military now. She's blaming Erica Kirk. She's going after Erica. She's declared war on Erica Kirk now. So that's going on. She's blamed the Egyptians, the Israelis, the French, anybody. Oh, Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu personally. I mean, if you listen to Candace Owens, there must be 250,000 people at least involved in this vast conspiracy to assassinate Charlie Kirk. So you know, again, if and this is my challenge with TPUSA. Why are you addressing all of this on a podcast platform? Why aren't you taking Candace Owens to court where it can be adjudicated and the claims can be completely proven or not proven in a court of law? But they're not doing that. They're going now. They're bringing Fox News into the fray, and you're going to have Fox News. You're going to have all the so-called conservative social media influencers and their campaigns, and that's where all of this is being waged. And meanwhile, you know what's not happening? The focus is not on these great conservative kids on these university and high school campuses that want to be conservatives, that want to know what it means to be a conservative. That's where all of the focus ought to be. But it's not. It's on all these theories. And look, everything Candace Owens says may be true. I don't know. She's got sources. She has sources out the wazoo. But what if it's not true? Where do all those people go to get their reputations back? But man, is it ugly right now in this so-called social media world. So we're going to talk a little bit about that on the national show today. But yeah, would you watch a Fox News show hosted by Erica Kirk? That certainly seems to be the conversation. A lot of folks very excited to see her, and they think that she did a great job with Harris Faulkner. She was also on The Five, so we'll keep you updated on that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Cracker Barrel is back in the news. You know, it's funny. They're always a couple of weeks. These stories hit after we've talked about them about 2 weeks beforehand. So now Fox News reporting that Cracker Barrel diners are really upset, and it has nothing to do with the image. You know, they brought back the old timer and the old logo. But now diners are upset about the food and the recipe changes and the cost-cutting efforts. And the chain's meals, they say, no longer reflect the traditional standards. Yeah, we've been talking about that for a long time now, right? They're saying the food has deteriorated over the years. Favorites have disappeared from the menu, and kitchen shortcuts replaced earlier practices. Here it is, home cooking, fresh home cooking. That's what Cracker Barrel was known for. And if they can't get back to that, that was the bigger problem. And I think that's really why people stopped going to Cracker Barrel. The portions were getting smaller. I mean, when you used to go to Cracker Barrel, you'd get a plate, and your plate would be piled with food. And now it's not. It's like meager portions. And many of them are either, I don't know, microwaved, or they're frozen and reheated. And people can tell. People can tell. So anyway, I appreciate Fox News doing this story. But the reality of it is this: if they want to get back to what made them a success, they got to go back to that good old-fashioned home cooking. All right, folks, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great morning. Don't forget to go check out Rhonda O'Dell's website. She's running for District 1. We're going to be getting all the candidates on. ElectRhondaOdell.com is the website address there. All right, we are your place for election coverage in the Mid-South. Don't you forget that, everybody. Get out there. Have a great day. Be warm.